Good evening to everyone. Desire your prayers tonight. We look into the Word of God. I have a very serious message that the Lord's given me. When you start praying for messages going into meetings and stuff, you never know what the Lord might give you. I'll be honest, this kind of caught me by surprise in a way. But yet I know this is a very, very serious subject to preach on. So I need God's help tonight to be able to do what He wants. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, please, first verse. We'll read just a little bit here. The Lord, the last two summers, has thrown me some curveballs that I wasn't expecting. When I left here 1 year ago, I didn't preach at all for nearly 3 months. I was down, had physical problems. The Lord began to bring me out of it. Last part of September, I was able to go to Wichita and be in that meeting there. And I've said something to some people about what I was doing. They said, well, we could have told you you're getting too old to do that. But this time I tried to change things up and still didn't work good. I ended up taking a little break I wasn't prepared for. But I'm glad to be here tonight, and I hope you're glad to be here in this meeting. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, Philippians 2 and 1, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind esteem, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, and let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Last fall, I was down in Holly Hill, South Carolina for over a month. And the Lord gave me a message, I don't remember exactly when, on the subject of let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'd been preaching on that subject down there, I don't remember how much, but thought I was through. And on Saturday night, I was doing some more praying for the next Sunday. Now, Brother Clinton, and I'd never had this happen before in my ministry, I went down there. Of course, I knew I was going to be there for a while. And earlier back in the spring, he and I was talking, and I said, well, I said, just whatever you want to do. You can have Sunday morning, I can have Sunday night, whatever. He said, well, we'll pray about it. We got off the phone, the Lord spoke to him. He said, they hear you all the time. So he told me, he said, you go for it. So I did, and this particular Saturday night, I was praying and begging for the Lord to have mercy, and He visited me. And I don't normally tell stuff like this, but I'm doing it because I want you to hopefully see what I saw. And as He began to deal with me and talk to me, He gave me three absolutes that I had never thought of quite in the depths that I did that night. And it's all connected in the way the Lord looks at it. And tonight, you and I need to look at it too. We need to have the same mindset that God is God. Last night after the message and thinking about what Brother Dan had preached on, and I thought the Lord looks at this thing. And He's looking at this cause. And it's a great cause. It's not just any cause, but it's the greatest cause in the world. He gave His life for it tonight. To be able to make a plan of salvation for you and I, that we could do something we couldn't do otherwise. And He raised us up and He brought us out and He set our feet on a solid rock. He established our goings. He put a new song in our mouth. Even praise be unto God. Listen, folks, we wouldn't be here tonight probably if it wasn't for Him. And we sure wouldn't have the peace and joy. Now you think about it. He done that because there's a cause. Now then, He wants you and I to help Him in that cause. He wants us to be fired up. He wants us to do what He wants us to do. Not what we want to do. I had plans, but God changed all that when I got saved in 1971. He changed my whole life around. And tonight I'm interested in let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, the absolutes tonight, he visited me and talked to me on that night, was love, mercy, and forgiveness. Now, folks, if you think about it, there ain't nobody going to go to heaven unless they love their neighbor, love God, love their neighbor, and love your enemy as yourself, so to speak. You and I are not going to make it without God's love to them and to him. All right, the next thing is mercy. You and I are going to have to show mercy to everybody. And the last that I want to deal with tonight is forgiveness. If you and I do not forgive people, there's in no way, according to the way I understand the Word of God, that you and I make heaven our home. And the reason that is because tonight he forgave you. He gave everything that it took to do what he had to do to bring about a plan so you and I to have forgiveness, and nothing short of you and I forgiving others will get us into heaven. It's an absolute tonight. So you and I are going to have to be a forgiving people. Let's go to Luke, the 6th chapter, please. Luke 6 and 36. It said, "Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive." Now that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words here. It said, "Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." Again, to me, this is an absolute. It's not like you can waffle on this thing. But Christ paid such a high price tonight, and I hope I can get across my burden, that he paid such a high price for you and I so he could have everything he needed to forgive you and I, to turn us loose, to bless us and to work with us, and he wants us to do the same. We're going to run into problems. We're going to run into trouble. All right, let's go to Psalms 103 and 8. Psalms 103 and 8 tonight. It said the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow in anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dwelt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he hath removed our transgression from us. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. For as man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Now then, he says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them, for he knoweth. Tonight, you and I need to look at this subject of forgiveness in the fact that we've got to remember they're dust. Every one of us in here is dust. We're all going to die one of these days. We're all mortal. We're going to go out into eternity. And listen, folks, tonight, the Lord, he pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth. He knoweth what he made us of. He knoweth how he works with us. He knoweth how he deals with us. He remembereth. And then as for man, his days are as grass. We've got to remember that as we deal with people and they deal with us, there's going to be problems come up. There's going to be things that are going to happen to you and I down through the years. And you may think, well, I'll never have to have any real forgiveness. But listen, folks, it starts when we're young and it goes all the way till we get old. There's going to be people that is going to hurt us, that's going to wound us, and I'm going to deal with all that. But the bottom line is tonight, Lord, help us to have a heart to remember that is a soul. That soul is going out in eternity. We're going out in eternity. And you and I need to have a forgiving heart toward them and toward others so by that we can have a way to help them. You can't help them if you don't forget them. Forgive them. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. Now let's look here for a minute. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I'll remember their sin no more. As the east is from the west, He is going to remove our sins and all of our transgressions. And He said here, remember, I'll remember their sin no more. Listen tonight, there's not only such a thing as forgiving people, but I've taught through the years, you got to forgive and you got to forget. In other words, you can't bring that thing back up. I've seen it work in marriages where that somebody, one of the spouses hurt the other one, and supposedly got that all under the blood, everything was taken care of, and then they get into another problem, and what happens? They go dig that back up. You shouldn't do that. You need to remember what happened if you and I got saved and went along and done real good, but we made a mistake and Jesus went back and jerked all of our old sins up and poured them right in our face. What would you think about that? That wouldn't be no fun. So Lord, help you and I to forgive and to forget. A number of years ago, I had a number of people that gunned me down. Some of you have heard me talk about this, and dear, I've used it many times in the pulpit, but I feel like the Lord wants me tonight. And they have hurt me dearly. And I had tried for a good while. I think I'd have them forgiven and everything's fine, and it would pop up again. And I finally got to the place I said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Listen, folks, there is things that you and I are going to go through that we're going to have forgiveness grace. The grace of forgiveness to be able to forgive the hardest things that come against us. The hardest things that can hurt us, no matter what it might be. And there's going to be times maybe in our lives that you're going to deal with that. So consequently, it's going to take a special touch from God for you and I to be able to forgive those people. There are little things that you can forgive. Little problem between a husband and wife. Somebody says something out of turn, whatever. No big deal. But the bottom line is tonight, they had a number of people and they gunned me down. I made the statement that if I died, they'd throw a party and dance in the street. That's how bad they wanted to get rid of this preacher. Well, I started, like I said, I prayed, and I finally got to the place I told the Lord, I said, You got the key. I can't do this, Lord. I've tried. I didn't even know totally what I needed. I knew I needed something. And I was going to Webb City and going up there for service, and only me in the van. And the Lord got in with me and He sat down for a while. When He sat down, He started dealing with me. He said, What happens when a person dies? What do you do with them? I said, Well, you put them in the casket. He said, All right. He said, Then what do you do? I said, Well, you dig a hole and you bury him. All right. And, I said, you put them in the casket, then you shut the lid, then you put them in the ground, then you graze a gravestone. And he said, all right, you need to do that with self and every one of them. All those people that you cannot forgive, you're going to have to take each one of them and you're going to do that. So I was going down the road, and I was going down the road there, and I know people thought I was crazy because I was holding the wheel with one hand, and I was going like this. I was nailing them caskets shut one right after another. I literally called their name out. I put them in the casket. As I was doing that, I was dying out myself, turning it all loose and surrendering it, doing everything I felt like I had to do. I nailed the lid shut. I dug the hole. I put them down in the hole. I put the headstone up and got it buried. And I'm going to tell you, it's worked to this day. That headstone reminds me, if I even go there, that headstone reminds me, listen, son, you forgave them years ago. You forgive them. I won't touch it. I leave it alone. If I have to, I turn and walk away from it, so to speak. I don't have anything to do with it. I forgive them, and I've tried to forget it in every way that I can because of the pain that it caused me for many years. Listen, folks, it took forgiving grace. It took a touch from the Master's hand for me to be able to do that, but I got new for you folks, it will work because I've been there. Amen. And it'll work for you too. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My grace is sufficient. He's got plenty of it to help us with all the forgiveness that you and I need, no matter how serious, how big, or how small, no matter what the situation, the Lord has got it for us tonight. I can help you with that. I can help you. Oh, tonight. All right, let's go to Luke 23. Luke 23 and 34. Luke 23 and 34. And the Lord said here, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and they cast lots. Now listen, some of us been through some things. You've had some hard blows. There ain't none of it will get close to what Jesus went through. It won't, no way. What with the hardest thing we can go through will never get anywhere close to what he went through. But he had to forgive them then if he's going to forgive them down the road. So he said, Lord, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to forgive them. Stephen was the same way. Yes, he looked up and he saw it. But what did he say? He said, lay not this sin to their charge, didn't he? He said, forgive them, Father. I don't care what they're doing to me. Listen, folks, tonight, you might say, I'll never be that. But there may be a time that you and I could be burned at the stake. There could be a time that we could be stoned, maybe. This world is in such a mess, nothing much would surprise me anymore. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Listen, he was facing. And when he went to the garden and he was praying there and begging and so forth, he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, this is painful and it's hard. But Lord, I'm going to go through with what I promised you, Father, I would do. I'm not going to quit, praise God. I'm going all the way, thank the Lord. I'm thankful he did tonight. If he hadn't have gone all the way, you and I would not be here. So he went all the way. And then it got down. When it's this part here, he said, Father, forgive them. He's done it so he can help you and I to know that we're going to have to do it too. All right, what about people talking about you? Now, young people, I don't know what you've gone through. But a lot of times, young people talk about young people. And I'm not totally talking about the young people, church young people. But maybe at school, maybe in the neighborhood. And it gets back to you. So-and-so said so-and-so about you. Well, that can hurt. But the Lord wants you to forgive that. He wants you to forgive it. Say, I forgive you. Say, you meet him on the street. Listen, folks, how are we ever going to help anybody if we don't forgive them? Because as long as you're holding something against them, it's going to be a bar there, so to speak, and probably you won't even want to see them. Maybe not have anything to do with them at all. And so consequently, so the way to start to rebuild a relationship is you got to forgive them. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He started out. I'm going to tell you, when you get hurt, young people, forgive them. And you have to do like I did. And I've not met too many people, well, I know it's probably way more, but Sister Catherine Williams, and some of you don't even know her, but she had a brother that married a lady that had a son. And this stepson told his stepfather, said, I need to use the car for a little bit. He said, that's fine, but I need to go somewhere for a little bit. I'll bring it back and you can go. So he did that. In the meanwhile, the son got a gun. And he climbed up on the balcony, and when the father got there, stepfather got there, he opened the car and he stepped out of the car and he stood there and the young man shot him in cold blood. Sister Catherine's brother shot in cold blood. This is the first time that I can ever remember that somebody said the grace of forgiveness. She said it was rough. It was hard. Now this was a saint that I had a lot of confidence in. She was a wonderful individual and I loved her in the Lord. But the bottom line was she had met something that wasn't easy. Listen, folks, this is some of the hardest things you'll ever deal with in your life, possibly. And so she got to praying and she got to seeking and God come down and he helped her just like he did me, or helped her and then me. Mine was years later. She found that grace Oh, tonight, my grace is sufficient. There's no lack. No matter what you need tonight, the Lord is sufficient to give you everything that you need. And in the grace of forgiveness, He can give it all with no question or no problem. Like I said, He just talked to me and told me how to do it step by step. And as I done it, and as I died out to self, as I put Him in the casket and done the whole thing, it worked, folks, and He's still working years later. It worked for her, too. It worked for her. I don't know. I've never had this happen to a family member, but in the grief that I've studied and the pain that I've gone through, one of the hardest things I would think for you to face would be somebody kill a loved one in cold blood. Shoot them dead. And there have been other ways of killing loved ones too, not just maybe by a gun. But oh, tonight, people are going to talk about you. There's going to be people, folks, will cheat you out of money, land, possessions. Oh, that never happened, Brother Carl. Yeah, it can, too. It can happen. Let's go to 6th chapter of Luke here. Back in the 6th chapter of Luke. Now, let's read here. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It says here in the 22nd verse of Luke 6 and 22, he says, Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You're living for God. You're doing everything you can do, and they're treating you like dirt. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. So did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners do even the same. For if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. Now tonight there is going to be people. There's a man in Oklahoma that at one point was the governor of the state of Oklahoma a number of years ago. His last name was Marlin, if I remember right. He had made a fortune in oil back up in the northeast, Pennsylvania, I believe it was. But he had a person that come along and totally cheated him out of everything, and he was dirt poor again. Well, if I remember right, he came to Oklahoma. And he thought, I'm going to start over again. So he did, and he hit it rich again. He's got a huge mansion, the Marlin Mansion in Oklahoma in Ponca City area. It's got gold ceilings in it. It's a marvelous house, mansion. And so he started over. And he said, I'm never going to do this and this and this. But do you know, he accidentally slipped up, and another man come in and took his second amount of riches away from him. He ended up living with his wife in the carriage house, if I remember right, in the carriage house. Now, the bottom line is, you may think, they'll never do me that away. I'm not rich. You don't have to be. Somebody will still cheat you if they can. They will cheat you. They'll do you wrong. I've been a businessman most of my life, so to speak, and I've had people that would do me wrong. But the bottom line is, you got to forgive them. You've got to forgive them. Listen, how much is your soul worth next to the money? Your soul is worth more than all the world. I preach that over and over. It's worth more than all the world. So consequently, the bottom line, that person's soul and your soul is worth more than all the world. So consequently, if they cheat you out of money and take it away, the best thing to do is just drop it, forgive them, love them, and go on. Try to be friends with them if you can. And do good to them. That way you said, if thy enemy hunger, what? Feed him. If he thirst, what? Give him drink. Friends shall do it, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. So listen, folks, there's a way to handle this stuff. And the Bible said do it this way. Not to hold them, not to sue them, not to kill them or get back at them in some way. It says to forgive them. Forgive them. Someone hurts your children physically. Now, I've never had that happen, but that would be a tough one. Somebody said, oh, that won't ever happen. Yeah, I can too. It can happen. Somebody can hurt your child in one way or another. And maybe not physically, but maybe just talk about them and get back to them that so-and-so done so-and-so. That can hurt them and that can affect mama and daddy. And so the cold line, it starts out with one and ends up at least three or four, because if the brothers and sisters involved, they get involved. And everybody's hurt over this deal. But the bottom line is said, forgive ye. Forgive ye. Lord, help us tonight that when those kind of things come, we forgive them. If they do hurt somebody physically, if they would happen to molest a child, that would be a hard one, just almost like murder and sin. Because they have robbed that child. They have damaged that child. The things that some of this stuff do to the body and to the mind and to the everything is beyond what I can hardly grasp, because it never happened to me. But I'm going to tell you what I know about it. It would be horrible. Oh, tonight. Another bad one. And you may think, well, preacher, this doesn't need to be preached like this. Yeah, it does, because it busts up marriages. It busts up families. It busts up businesses. It can do a lot of damage in so many different ways, because someone or somebodies has decided they won't forgive somebody. And they struggle with it, and they struggle with it. Oh, tonight, the Lord said, forgive. Forgive. What about a husband or wife step out on you? You young people don't know anything about that, and I don't either, because it never happened to me. But let me tell you a case I dealt with in a certain congregation when I pastored a number of years ago. I loved this couple. They were kin to the congregation. They got saved in a meeting that Brother Curtis and Brother Sammons, I believe, held in that particular place a number of years ago. The wife even talked to me about it. There was a storm come through and literally took the tent totally. Well, it's blowing so hard and the storm was so real that the brethren had to drop the tent, and they all went in the chapel and finished the service up. And Brother Williams, I believe, was preaching on the subject of hell that night. And she told me, said, when they got through, I went to that altar, Brother Carl, and I got saved. And she lived it. She married a man, and I believe, if I remember right, he was called to preach. But they were with another group. They weren't with the saints. They knew us. Anyway, their marriage got into trouble. And he talked to me, and she talked to me. And where the problem was on her side, because she wasn't willing to forgive him. And he told me, said, I done wrong. He told me all about it. He just laid himself bare to me that night. And I don't know if I've ever had a person go any deeper than he got went. He laid it all open. Then I talked to her. And I'm going to tell you, saints, I done everything in my power to keep her from doing what I knew she was going to do. I knew she was going to divorce him, and she did. I even went so far, I said, if I would call the ministers together and lay this out before them, I said, I believe they would tell you the same thing I'm telling you, don't do it. But she did it anyway. If I remember right, he married the woman, but I don't think she ever married. She stayed single. The woman died, and this is what to me is so painful, part of it. The fact was that she died, and then them two got back together years later. I said, Molly, look at all the years of joy they missed. all the blessings. Listen, I have had people. I'm thinking of one person in particular, a woman that I worked with years ago. And she told me, she said, I divorced my husband. But she says, and I look back on it, Carl, that's the thing I should not have done. Listen, sometimes the devil points out, said, you need to divorce them and leave them and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, don't do that. Don't leave them. Don't divorce them. Stay with them. Get on your knees and pray it through. By the grace of God, you can live together, praise God. And that's what that woman could have done with that husband and him with her if she would have just listened. I'm going to tell you, there'd be a lot of people burning in hell tonight because they didn't do what they should have done. They should have stayed with that. They should have forgiven that companion. I know it would be painful. I know it would be rough. But let me tell you something. Tonight, Jesus said, my grace is forgiveness. My grace and forgiveness is sufficient to help you to forgive somebody that stepped out on you. I've dealt with more than one case and known more than one case. And it's hard. And I've never been there. My wife's never done me that way. And I appreciate it. But the bottom line tonight, there is a grace of forgiveness to help you to forgive anything. Anything. Anything tonight. Let's go to Mark 11 and 25. Mark 11 and 25 tonight. The Lord wants us to have a very forgiving heart tonight. 11 and 24 here. No, 11 and 25. And when you stand, pray and forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, now listen to this, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive, your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now this gets serious right here. Like I said, this is an absolute. This is not one you can swing around and play around. This is an absolute. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. You don't forgive and you won't be forgiven. That's cut and dry. You can't get any stouter than that. Love your enemies. Be merciful to them. Listen tonight. The Lord wants you and I to have such a forgiving spirit, praise God, with each one. Oh, tonight he said forgive. Alright, let's go to Genesis. Let's go talk about something that is a beautiful story in Genesis 50. Some of you know where I'm headed here. 50 and about the 15th verse. Genesis 50 and 15. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now then, how would you like to be in Joseph's shoes? How would you like your brothers to turn on you like that his did? That would be tough. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive. Now this is Papa saying now, but I wonder how much they got in this too. I pray thee now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For if they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I in the place... For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones and be comforted. And he comforted them and he spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. Now then, Joseph had so much go wrong on him. But the bottom line is, like he said there, the Lord meant it for good. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Listen, Everything that you and I go through in trials and tribulation is a blessing. Can be a blessing. If we look at it right. There have been times I've suffered greatly. There have been times that all these different things happen to you. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you'll be of the right heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, and do what the Bible tells us to do, listen, folks, it'll be a great blessing down the road. It'll be a great blessing. Now then, they done him wrong. Several of them done him wrong. But the bottom line was, he had the right spirit, he had the right attitude, he had the right forgiveness. I'm not going to hold you accountable for this. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be good to you. Oh, tonight, somebody does you wrong, and they come later, and they say, listen, I took your money away from you, and I done this to you, and I done that to you, but I've lost all the money, I don't have any food, I'm sitting here with my house, I need to pay my notes, I need to do this, and I ain't got a dime to pay for it with. You say, well, get out of here, I don't have anything to do with you. That ain't what the Lord would say. Listen, folks, when we come to Him, we were flat busted. We were bankrupt and in ashes. And if the Lord would have sent us away, where would we have gone? Listen, folks, today, Joseph was in the right place at the right time. And God took him and used him in a mighty way. Listen, he was so blessed because he had the right attitude and the right forgiving spirit. Lord, help us tonight to have that right spirit. Yes. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4. Let's wrap it up here. Ephesians 4 in the 4 and 32, the last scripture in the 4th chapter. And be kind one to another. Talking about the saints here. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, Proverbs 19 and 11. Proverbs 19 and 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You can't, let me say it, more than likely, let me put it that way, more than likely, you're going to work on a job, brethren. You're going to deal with the public, wives, you've got family to deal with, you've got everything. But the bottom line is tonight, if somebody does us wrong, somebody hurts us deeply, it says the discretion of a man deferreth. In other words, he thinks it over. He don't go out and let his anger destroy him or destroy somebody else. He sits down and he thinks it over and he looks at it. And you might say, well, how can I correct this? How can I help this? Or so forth. And then it says, and I like the second part of this verse here. He says here, he says, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now the saints are wonderful people. I've been around them for over 50 years now. You heard what Brother Dan said last night when he got up here. And that's a good testimony. You've been good to him, and he likes coming here. It ain't no big hard trip to come down to Louisiana from Missouri. It just get in a wife, let's go. Well, that's a great blessing. But I got news for you. There's going to be a time somewhere in your life of living for God that somebody's probably going to hurt you. Amen. If you go through it and no saint ever accidentally says something to you that hurts you or does something, I'm not talking about major sin particularly or a sin, but just does something to hurt you or somebody said something or whatever, I'm going to tell you, you're blessed. Because it's going to not happen like that most of the time. But he says here, he says, and be you kind. Lord, help us here. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted. Listen, tender-hearted people, God can what? He can work with you, can't he? Tender-hearted people can work with one another. Because when you're tender-hearted, you want to get this thing taken care of. You don't want to leave it flopping out there and so forth, but you want to go. Brother Austin Wilson, if I remember right, he said if you've got a problem with a brother or a problem with a sister, brother and brother, sister, sister, said the thing to do is when you see us going across the chapel and hug them and tell them you love them, praise God. Tell them you love them. Well, I'm going to tell you a little something else. Like I said, there are three parts to this. Love, mercy, and forgiveness. In Holly Hill, the first part of it I preached on, if I remember right, was love. And I just challenged them. I said, when is the last time you told your brother or your sister you loved them? I said, we need to tell one another that. We need to let each other know, hey, I love you. I'm thankful you're here. I appreciate you taking the time to come down and be with us. Whether it be a preacher, whether it be just a saint, a teacher, a worker somewhere. I'm glad you're here, praise God. And do you know that morning, after I got through that message, I have never heard so many people tell everybody that they love one another. They even told me they love me too. They told me that. Oh, tonight it's a blessing to be a tender-hearted, loving, affectionate people where that we know that the other people love us and we love them. Let them know that. I preached a message in California sometime, I guess last time I was there. And I was talking about love. And I got through the message and one worker, I'm talking about an old gray-headed worker in the congregation, he said, folks, I ain't told my wife that I love her in a long time. And I was so stunned, I was speechless. And he said, I guess I better tell her. I said, you better buy her a dozen roses too. It's time to let that girl know that you love her. She was a sweetheart, as far as I know anyway. And here, one of the leaders, listen, folks, we need to tell one another that we love one another. Go over there, like Brother Austin said, give them a hug and say, I love you. Start melting that thing down. If there's something there, use the kindness and the tenderheartedness and a forgiving attitude and begin to melt that thing down till it don't exist anymore. Say, I love you. I'm going to tell you, my husband and wife had problems. Well, the best thing you do is, I love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I didn't mean to say it that way. I shouldn't have said it that way. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Help us to be tender-hearted. Help us to be merciful and loving one to another. All right, let's go to a great deal in the 18th chapter of Matthew, the 25th verse, please. 18 of Matthew and 25. For as much as he had not to pay. Well, let me start back at 23rd verse. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down, and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now 100 pence is way less than $10,000. I mean way less. Don't even compare. He said he went out and found him. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now listen, folks, I ain't figured out how that you could throw a person into prison if he didn't have any money and expect him to pay you. To me, that don't make a lot of sense. Now then, so when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and they told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and he said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is tight, folks. This is not something that we can mess around with. Like I say, to me it's an absolute, certain. You've got to do this. All right. The man with the 10,000 talents, that is a huge amount. And tonight, when you and I come to Christ, we have more than 10,000 talents that we owe Him. We have a debt that cannot be paid. You can do everything you want to, and you cannot pay that debt. That debt has to be forgiven. And the blood applied. And the working of the Spirit of Christ to wash and redeem and to raise up and bring up and out and set on a solid rock and do something that nobody else can do. Praise God. There's no way you can pay that debt. You can try and try and try and it can't be done. Brother Lewis Kimball, he had problems and he started telling people and they said, well, I think you need to pray. I think God's dealing with your soul. Well, that told him. Another told him about the same thing. Another told him about the same thing. And he got to thinking, the Lord's working with me. He's calling me. So he climbed into a closet, an actual closet, and he stayed there for 3 days and fasted. And he began to melt down before God. And begin to turn and beg and plead. I'm going to tell you what, it takes something sometime for you and I to pray through, but it is possible that God will forgive anything, praise God, except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And that he stayed there. And he said, when I come out, I was redeemed by the blood, praise God. I was raised up and out, and he was a brother and a close brother to me all the way down to his death, praise God. When we first met right down here in Louisiana, Lewis Kimball and I clicked, and we stayed clicked together. Heart to heart for years. Oh, tonight. It was too big. It was too big. Listen tonight if you're unsaved. If you don't have that peace and that joy, listen, there is something that it's going to take to get that, and that's your humbling down and begging for forgiveness. You need to beg the Lord. Much as he had not to pay. And the Lord commanded him to be so, but the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Listen, the Lord is wanting, willing to forgive anybody tonight, praise God. He's already, in a sense, forgiven you. All you have to do is put your all out there and say, Lord, have mercy and help me. The old general, as I called him, he got in there that night. And the Lord, he was under conviction, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he wasn't getting anywhere. Finally, he said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. And when he did, he said, the power hit him and the sin was gone and the peace was there. And he kept it till he died many years later. Oh, tonight, you and I can be forgiven tonight. But I'm going to tell you, you may think, well, I can get around it. No, you can't, because it's too big a debt for you to pay. Too big a debt. Oh, tonight. And then you and I, we go along, and somebody comes to us, and, well, they done me wrong, wife. They done me wrong. And I just don't like that. I'm just pretty upset about it. And you don't really sit down and defer it. Like that one scripture said, but you kept mulling the wrong way about it. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get her, whoever it might be. We're going to get him. I'm going to tell you, you need to sit down in the arms of Jesus, so to speak, or kneel in the breast like John did, and get real close to him and say, Lord, help me. This debt ain't nothing compared to what you forgave me of. Listen, folks, it's minor compared to the debt we owe Jesus Christ. It's minor. And so consequently tonight, you and I need to forgive. If it's a big thing to you or a little thing in the eyes of God, it is very, very small compared to what you done to Him. I was not a bad sinner. didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do drugs or anything. There wasn't much drugs around there when I got saved in 71. But the bottom line is, I was not what I call a bad person. But I still had a debt of sin on my soul that I had to be forgiven of. And He forgave it. When I said, Lord, have mercy on Carl Shaver. Forgive me, Lord. He forgave it. Oh, tonight, the Lord wants you and I to forgive. Be forgiven and wants us to forgive. Oh, that debt's big. I'm going to tell you what. It's big if you're not saved tonight. But tonight the Lord wants to do something for you. He wants to help you and forgive you and bless you. 31 and 34 of Jeremiah. 31, 34. We're wrapping it up here. We'll be done just a little bit. It said, I've done read that one. Alright. And, alright, I want Philippians 3 and 13. Philippians 3 and 13. 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise, if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. All right, he said there, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now then, did Paul ever have anything done to him? When he got saved and he had a glorious salvation, but from when he started out for God, did they just bow in self-humbling before him everywhere he went? No. He had a lot of things happen to him. But he said, Lord, I'm not going to quit. I am going to forgive and I am going to forget those things. Listen, folks, Lord, help us tonight. The Lord wants us to forgive. He wants us to forget everything that we need to. It'll rob your joy. It'll rob your peace. It will hurt you and give you problems if you don't. It will just give you a lot of trouble. So the best thing to do is just get it taken care of as quick as possible. All right, in closing, Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against thee, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Woo, preacher, that's a lot of forgiveness. That's what the Lord wants, is a spirit of forgiveness. He wants all of us to be wrapped, so to speak, in a spirit of forgiveness. That, like I said, if you tell me, if I can live long enough, and you live for the Lord a number of years, and you come up to me way down the road, and you say, well, Brother Carl, I've never had anybody ever hurt me. Among the saints, in the family, the wife, I'm going to tell you, my mouth would be wide open. I'd be stunned because I don't think it'll ever happen. There's going to be things that are going to happen. And so he said here, till seven times, Lord. Now there's another place deals with this too. But Jesus said to them, I said not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That 490 times. If say you had somebody that was giving you trouble, and it was 490 times in one day. Now, I'm going to tell you, that'd be a lot of problems, wouldn't it? It'd be a lot of trouble. Even if it was over a week, or even over 2 weeks, or over months, that they just consistently come back and hurt you over and over and over. Now, Brother Carl, I'm reading the words of the Lord here. He said 70 times 7. 70 times 7, 7 7s and 49, 490 times. that you've got to forgive them. In other words, you've got to be clothed with a spirit of forgiveness. And have that, and have it where that people will know it. Understand it. Listen, folks, a lot of problems could be solved real easy if people forgive one another. But they don't do it. Our world is in a mess, and part of it is because of this right here. Because you know what happens? People get to not forgiving people. Then they get to angry. Then they get to wrath. And then if you're not careful, everything breaks loose. And there's killing, murders, buildings are destroyed, property is destroyed. Because it all started because somebody didn't forgive somebody. Lord, help us tonight. I appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.